desire and interest in your prayers tonight as we look into the Word. Written on the board, the king's meat repulse. And that references a very familiar story I'd like us to consider tonight. Over in the book of Daniel, we began reading in the first chapter. Without taking the time to read the whole story, I believe most of you are familiar with the story of Daniel and the three Hebrew children. You read the book of Daniel, there are a lot of very familiar stories that are encouraging and challenging to us to put our trust and our faith in God. So I heard one person express at one time, really the book of Daniel is about whose God is really God. And if you read through the book with that in mind, you will see that God reveals Himself as the one and true God in so many different instances and things that happen in the book of Daniel. Well, historically, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of one of the greatest empires of all time, the Babylonian Empire, they went and he conquered the Israelites, the Jews. And he took some of the Jews and he took them to Babylon. And the reason, there are multiple reasons why King Nebuchadnezzar did this. Number one, it destabilized different countries. When you go and take some of their people and take them out of their country, it brings an instability there. You don't have to be quite so afraid of insurrection taking place. The other thing is, and King Nebuchadnezzar was pretty smart about this, is that he chose his enemies, people that he had brought to his country, and he made rulers out of them. In other words, if I'm going to rule a certain nation, how better to know how to do it than to choose some of those people to teach me so that I would understand their culture and their backgrounds and their religion, and it would enable me to pass laws and keep them in check and keep them in line. So King Nebuchadnezzar was a pretty smart man when it came to leadership and rulership in those avenues. As you read the book of Daniel, you'll find that he got caught up in his own sense of power, his own sense of accomplishment. But this is where we find the very familiar story of the three Hebrew children and Daniel being removed. Now understand, these young men had been displaced. They were not at home, in other words. They were strangers in a foreign land. And they had been removed to a large extent from their families, from everything that was familiar to them, and they had been brought to the king, to the king's palace, and they were chosen. The three Hebrew children were princes among their people. They were of royal birth among the Jews. And so they were given a position and said, we're going to teach you, and we're going to educate you, and we're going to instruct you to fulfill this position of counselors and advisors to the king. But first, we're going to fatten you up. We're going to take 3 years, and we're going to give you the best foods that are available. We're going to give you the best education, the best teachers. How would you feel if you were plucked out of your home? Couldn't come to church anymore. Couldn't be there with your parents anymore, removed from everything that was familiar and placed in a strange environment. Now, some of you may have felt you'd been rooted up when you got married and moved away. But I saw a few of the looks. But these men were displaced. Now, I want us to understand as we read the context of this story that they were not at home. They were not in what they would say their comfort zone. You know, when you get out of your comfort zone, you are a lot more vulnerable to influences. When you are outside of what you're familiar with, you know, for some of you, maybe it even comes come to church or come to camp meeting, you are out of your comfort zone. You don't know what to expect. You don't know who's going to say what or who's going to do what, and you're maybe just not real comfortable. I want to invite everybody here tonight, be at home in service, all right? Let's be at home. The Lord wants us to be at home tonight. But these young men were not at home. And so we find they were outside of their element. And in the fifth verse, it says the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. What's wrong with that? Because, you know, there's something to be said about if you're eating beans and rice at home, and that's fine if you like it, but you think about something simple. If you say we're having soup tonight, I am someone that in my mind, my wife has learned not to tell me we're having soup. Just put it in front of me and I'll eat it and I'll like it. But if I start thinking about soup, I start thinking maybe there's something more substantial. And actually, Mom, I'm sorry, soup was offered tonight. That's all right. But in my mind, you just set that in front of me, see? And I like it. But instead of eating just maybe beans and rice at home or whatever they had, and I think I know what they had, but they were presented an opportunity to eat of the best of the kingdom of Babylon. You'll eat the meat that the king eats. You'll have the best wine, the best drink. You'll just have a buffet, a banquet table that you will eat of at every meal for 3 years. Doesn't that sound like a nice opportunity? Let's read on. It's talking here, and again, to save some time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And it said in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In reading on down to verse 12, Daniel told the eunuch, he said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink, and then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. And in verse 15, it said, at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And the result was that the eunuch, he ended up taking away the king's meat and wine from all of them and giving them all pulse to eat. So what does that have to do with us tonight? Daniel was willing to stand up and be different from those in the environment in which he found himself. He was out of his element, but yet he was not willing to bow down to the pressure, the peer pressure, and the influences of everybody else around about him and think, I'll just quietly go along with this, and I'll eat the king's meat and drink his wine, and though God knows in my heart that I really want to serve him. You know that we are living in an age it is easier to just quietly in your heart say, I'm serving God. But Daniel knew that if he were going to truly serve God acceptably, he was going to have to renounce some of the things that he was faced with. The king's meat. What was wrong with eating the king's meat? Because if you place a bowl of cabbage in front of me, I'll eat it. And I do eat cabbage. But if you gave me a choice of cabbage or a good T-bone steak, I'll choose the T-bone steak every time. The scripture here is not teaching against eating meat. But there was a problem with this meat that had been offered to them. The king's meat, before it came to the king's palace, it had been offered to idols. So if someone came along and saw these three Hebrew young men and Daniel sitting here eating this meat, there was going to be a connection between them and idolatry. They were not bowing down to idols, but understand, they did not even want the association. I don't want people to look at me and think I'm connected with idolatry. You see, it's not all about what's black and white, sin and not sin. It starts to have to do with association and the influences that we're under. The other problem with it was that some of the meat that they ate, that they were offered, was unclean. God had instructed them in the Old Testament. He had instructed them what kind of meat they could eat and what kind of meat was unclean. And this meat was unclean. And so they were not willing to compromise truth to fit in with the crowd. Does that affect any of us here tonight? Folks, we cannot make heaven tonight. We're not going to be blessed in our soul unless we are willing to stand against the peer pressure and influences of the world. And it's going to take standing up and being willing to be different. I know people, and the list has gone on for years, that people can find that start out serving God at camp meetings a good time to do it. And I would that everybody here get a firm hold of God, but when they go back to school, or they go back to work, they go back home, they fall back to where they came from because they're not able to stand up and be different. Tonight, we will not make it in the environment that we are living in today. We will not make it successfully serving God unless we are willing to stand up and be different. I won't fit in with the crowd. I'm not going to act like the crowd. I'm not going to look like the crowd. My priorities are different than the crowd. But folks, the only way we're going to make it is to do what Daniel did. These three young men, they purposed in their hearts, I'm not going to defile myself with it. I don't want to be associated with it. And you say, well, what was wrong with the wine that the king drank? That maybe just a little bit of wine would be all right. But I want to tell you what it's talking about. In the Word of God, in the Scripture, there was a difference in degree of the alcoholic content of the wine. There was some wine that was drunk that was fruit of the vine, and there was other wine that is very clearly talked, if you study it, the wine that moves in the cup. Solomon talked a lot about that. The wine that stirreth and moveth in the cup. Something that would cause you to be inebriated. Say, well, what's wrong with that? Intoxication changes the thought process, does it not? It affects the way you're, if it affects perspective, something else that alcohol does is it lowers inhibitions. And you will find that if Daniel and the three Hebrew children would have said, well, we'll just have a little bit. Do you know what so often follows alcohol so many times in the world? There's other stuff that comes with it. We're having a little get-together over here, and now we're having this banquet, and we're bringing in the wine, and pretty soon the inhibitions are lowered, and the immorality starts to climb. And people do things that they normally would not do in the right state of their mind. And things that they regret the next day. And after you do that long enough, you start losing the regret and actually might start looking forward to some of those things. Folks, it's the way the enemy works. If there are things in this world that change our thought process in lower inhibition, you better be careful about that thing. You better watch that thing. Because there's a progression with it. They could have said, you know what, in and of itself, maybe a little bit won't affect me. Have you ever had those thoughts about something? Maybe just a little bit won't affect me. And you know what, you might be right. But normally it doesn't stop with a little bit. You do a little bit of this, and then it leads to a little bit more, and it opens up an avenue for the enemy to work in many other areas of life. I've seen it happen over and over and over. And so Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And he told him, he said, I want you to prove me. I want you to test me. You know, this morning or this evening, each and every one of us are faced with life choices. We all have decisions to make. And it is not going to be enough for you to live your life based on just what you hear me say from across this pulpit. You agree with that? Because I'll tell you what, It's not enough for me to change my life. And I go away and say, well, Brother Donnie said so-and-so, that's why I'm doing it. And then if I go to another country and I say, well, do this because Brother Donnie said, they're going to look at me and say, who is Brother Donnie? It means nothing. So it goes back to what brought out Sunday, but it has to get down deeper than just what someone said sometime. We have to be honest with ourselves. Individually, be honest with ourselves and honest with God. Lord, how do you want me to live? Are you pleased with this in my life? How are these things that I'm doing affecting me spiritually? Where will you go? Does the preacher need to make a list on the board tonight of every single thing you should and should not do? Would you all like that? Okay, Brother Bob wouldn't. I don't know about the rest of you. Do you know there's a problem with that? Because I'd probably put some things on that list that maybe I'm wrong about or maybe it's all right. And I'd probably miss some things too that ought to be on the list. It's why it's important that you get contact with God yourself tonight. It's important that you get convictions from the Lord. It's important that you know what the Word of God teaches. It's important that you are honest and look at your life and see how you are affected by how you are living. Life choices. Where are you going to go? Is it all right to do some self-examination tonight? What are the things you've been doing? Vacation time and none of the saints around. No one's going to ever know. You know, it's not about what the saints think. It's about your relationship with God. It's about what God is pleased with, folks. It's about what the Lord thinks. It's about making heaven. The things you listen to. Do you think it matters what we listen to tonight? It does. I want to tell you something. Music is something that ministers one way or another to the spirit of man. And that is why there is such a draw in the world to music. And if you young people and you children think, okay, Brother Michael's talking about music, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I believe I've said it from right behind this pulpit before. I know what I'm talking about because I know the effect that music has on me. And there have been areas in my life where I have had to purpose in my heart and draw lines because I know this is not conducive to what the Lord wants. Is this right? I have noticed something. And you young people, I'm not picking on you tonight, but I want you to understand something. I have observed that one of the first things to go when people that start getting lax spiritually in our society music they listen to. And I'll tell you what you listen to is a lot of what you usually are. We are what we listen to. Is this right? Because if someone is listening to those things and feeding on things of the world in the immorality, you say, well, nothing's wrong with it. How it's not just the words, but if the words are full of ungodliness, do we not think that that's going to have an impact on me through time? It has an impact on our spirit. And also the type of music it is. And I would do wrong to put a list on the board tonight. But understand, how does this affect my mood? How does it affect my spirit? Is this something that I know the Lord is pleased with? It's going to take some purposes, young people, in your life that go beyond what mom and dad have said. Listen to their counsel. Listen to their instruction. But it's going to have to go beyond because mom and dad aren't always going to be there. And you know when you get in the car and you can put something on and you come home and you put it back where it was so when mom and dad get in the car, it won't be on what you were listening to? I'm not going to ask you if you know what I'm talking about tonight. It's not just an issue, though, of mom and dad. This is an issue of what's going on in my relationship with God. And if I have something to hide, I have to start wondering, how is this affecting me spiritually? What am I feeding on? What is it doing in my life? The things you watch. Would you ever have to dust your head or be ashamed if the wrong person stepped in the privacy of your home at the wrong time? What you believe. How you're going to act. You know, there is a moral breakdown happening in our society. There is a moral breakdown occurring at a very, very rapid pace in our society. Folks, I want to make heaven tonight. I want you to make it. But we're going to have to make some purposes in life that I'm not going to defile myself with the things of this world that I know are going to take me down a road that is going to lead to destruction. There have been those that have been faithful and set examples for us. And I thought about what Brother Bob said, and he touched on it. But Abraham, he said they were pilgrims and what? And strangers in this earth. Do you recognize as the world gets more and more evil, there is going to be a greater difference between God's people and how the world's living? There are things today that are accepted in morality and society. They're accepted as being okay that 50 years ago, 20 years ago, were not accepted. And so are we going to measure how we conduct ourselves? Are we going to measure holiness based on how far we stay away from the world? As the world declines, folks, there's going to be a greater and greater separation between God's people and the attitudes and the works of the people in the world. And if we're always just staying above the world, we're just going to be going down right with them, but we're just always doing things a little bit more carefully than they are. Folks, holiness is purity. The word holy, it means homogeneous. It means the same throughout. That our lives are the same throughout, and I'm not going to measure it based on my standard is always just a little bit above the world standard. But the standard and the practices in our life should be what is becoming to godliness. Humility. Holy, pure, clean, undefiled. In every area of our life. The things we do, the places we go, what you read, what you look at, your attitudes and your spirit. How can we withstand the influences? The influence of the world is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And if you do not stand, there's that little saying that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll do what? You'll fall for anything. So what are you standing for tonight? What are your convictions? What do you believe God requires and is asking of you in your life tonight? I mentioned a few things. I want to mention something else because it has such a great, it is having such a great impact on our society today. And that's computers. Do you know that computers are a tool? They should be a tool. They can be used for good and they can be used for evil. And I want to especially give the young people and the children a caution, but I also want to give the parents a caution. The enemy has used the computer to break down walls in people's morality in many, many homes and in many, many families. The computer, there's a place to use it, but I want to caution us tonight about the amount of time it's used, what it's being used for, and know that the works of the flesh are so easily accessible on it. That there should be a caution, and parents, if you think, oh, my children would never, they would never look at something they shouldn't, don't believe that. All right? Now, young people, I hope you amen me here. Because of this, parents, we are living in a time the enemy is doing everything he can to corrupt the purity of our children and young people. And if we're going to have a computer in our home, we need to assume the responsibility. I'm not going to leave a loaded gun in my home. I have guns in my home. And I have bullets in my home, but I'm not going to leave a loaded gun in my home. It takes responsibility. The same thing with the media, the same thing with computers, with the internet, and I'm going to go a step further and say cell phones, can it access all of those things? I want to warn you to be careful tonight because the enemy has used it over and over in the saints' home to violate the purity, and the devil's wreaking havoc tonight in people's lives. And if we can make some decisions and some purposes tonight in our home, in our individual lives to protect ourselves, my heart's right, but I don't want to give the enemy a place to work, then make decisions that back that purpose and desire up. We're in a strange land. And I don't want to just give in to everything that comes along. But I would that we be like Daniel tonight and purpose in our heart. I will not defile myself with the portion of the king's meat. And Daniel, he chose pulse. You know what pulse is? It's something that comes from the seed. The vegetarian diet. Sometimes people exclusively talk about it being beans or peas, but it was vegetables and grains. Would you choose vegetables over meat? Do you know when they chose the pulse, after 10 days they felt better and looked better than those that were giving themselves to the portion of the king's meat. And he gave them a challenge. He said, prove us. Look at the results. And I would challenge all of us tonight, do the same thing. Look at those tonight that have given themselves to the sinful defilement of the world. Is there some fun out in sin? I would say yes, there's a little bit. There's some things that are appealing to the flesh, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't last very long. It doesn't last very long, and the end result is a lot of heartache and grief. People end up being lonely and bitter. And look at those that have chosen pulse. That's not something to look down on. We're talking about something that's good for you. Something that will work in your life. This tonight is not an issue saying you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't go there. Isn't that how the devil likes to paint serving God to us? He likes to paint this picture. Here's the rule book. Okay, if you want to serve the Lord, if you want to come to this church, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't. You know what I'm talking about? Do you realize that's what the enemy tries to make us think? I have not found it to be so. I have found something that far surpasses what the world has to offer. I have found something just like the man that found the treasure hidden in the field. He with joy went and sold all that he had to buy that treasure. And the deeper you dig, the more you'll find the blessings of God. Folks, serving the Lord is a good way tonight. It's a good way. It'll stand your marriages in good stead. It'll stand your integrity. It'll stand your job and your school. The presence of the Lord, I would not trade it for all that the world has to offer tonight. I wouldn't trade it because I found something better. And it's not an issue of thou shalt not. Yes, there are some of those. But there are so many blessings and benefits of serving the Lord that I want to maintain a purpose that I will not fall back into what the Lord delivered me from. Peer pressure. What everybody else is doing. And you can look around and say, well, brother so-and-so's doing, that minister's doing. What does that have to do with it? How is it affecting your life spiritually? How does it affect your walk with God? Every time you go there and you don't really feel the joy of the Lord anymore, you have to kind of press through it. That ought to start telling us something. This comes back to that sensitivity of the Holy Spirit in my life. And you can say, but Brother Michael, it's not sin for me to have it. And you know what? I might agree with you. This is where we could bring up tonight, and I'm not going to do it. You don't need to get scared. We could bring up a lot of hot-button issues. You know what I mean by hot-button issues? Controversial issues of standards and practices and principles. Should I do this or can I do that? Can I still be saved and do that? Or do I have to give this up? I want to tell you there is a principle that will take care of a lot of those things, that controversies that are in people's lives. You get close to God and you be honest with the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you and show you the things that affect you in a spiritually detrimental way. And you know, when we all do that, we're not going to be too far apart. You know that? But when I start making a case saying it's okay to do it, it's not sin to do it, and I'm going to do it, what I have to do is stop for a moment. And before I easily start casting out practices that are, we have a wonderful heritage of those that have gone before us, before I casually throw those out, I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to prove it. See, that's what Daniel said. He said, you prove it. You prove us. We're not eating this king's meat, we're eating pulse. After 10 days, what was the result? And I want to tell you what I have seen in life. Those that go around arguing about making a stand that it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, it starts lowering barriers. It starts opening up avenues for the enemy to work, and I watch the end result, and I don't see greater anointing. I don't see greater victory. I don't see greater joy with the Lord. That ought to tell me something then. So our desire, our prayer tonight ought to be, Lord, whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord. Even though it may not be sin, Lord, I don't want to hold on to something tonight that's going to hinder me from making heaven. I don't want to hold on to something that the enemy is going to begin an inroad in my life that I'm going to end up losing all the joy and victory that I have. So what are you willing to purpose tonight? Because I will say, if we are living in an age where so much pressure, I'm feeling the pressure. Folks, it's all around us. And if we do not have active purposes for God, we are going to find ourselves going back to the things of the world. And it's not that we're going to wake up or tonight say, okay, I'm going to backslide today or I'm not going to serve the Lord. It is about a relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. I want you to experience this. But we're going to have some purposes. We're going to have some purposes apart. I remember, you know, we can look at the world and think, well, I can do this or that. But you know, a little bit of a contamination can make you sick. Y'all know Brother Matthew Gillenbeck, a lot of you do. Told me he had a stomach of iron. So I thought I would test it one day. We were in Ghana. And I observed, and you have to understand, in some of these third world countries, very unclean. There's a lot of uncleanness. There's no running water, no soap, none of that. And there is a certain kind of primary food that they eat there that they cook at first, and then they get their hands all in. And they have to stir it and move it and turn it. And so any contamination that is on their hands goes in that food and it goes in your mouth. And there have been times that I've eaten it for weeks before and the Lord helped me. There were times that Renee was with me one time. We took one bite of food and were desperately sick. So Matthew was with me and we sat there and I watched this girl cooking our food that morning. And I saw her hands all in it. She was very dirty and contaminated. And her, please understand, I'm illustrating a point here. Her nose was running and she was wiping it with her hands and getting it back in the food. And that evening they brought the food to us and they left. And I looked and I told Matthew, I said, you know what, I'm not hungry tonight. I said, you just go right ahead. And so he thought, well, I guess I'll help you out. And he would probably have a little different perspective tonight if you were here while I was telling the story. But anyway, he started to eat, and I waited until he started eating some of it. And then I started talking, and I wouldn't stop. I'm going to stop eventually tonight. He started eating that food, and I started describing in all of the detail that I could muster what I had observed in that food. And it got to the point that he didn't want to eat it. Wonder tonight what we're eating on that's in the world that we say, it's not too bad. There's just a little bit, just a little bit of contamination, and I can handle it. You know what happens? It will affect us. Just a little bit of contamination. Are you willing to risk your soul tonight? Are you willing to risk your soul over just a little bit of contamination? You know, that's a very personal decision you have to make. I can't make it for you. But I find that's what's happening in the world. And people that start imbibing on just a little bit of contamination, pretty soon it doesn't affect them all that much anymore. And it doesn't, you know, all the filth in the world, it's not good. I won't do that. But I'm so used to seeing it and hearing it and feeding on it. Folks, if we don't have a purpose of heart tonight, we're going to be greatly impacted in our walk with God. So I want to give us a warning tonight. Have some purpose. Actively purpose in your heart that you will not defile yourself with a portion of its evening. And I don't know what all things in your life the Holy Spirit is talking to you about. But you know, a lot of times we know the things the Lord wants us to change. We know how things are impacting us. And the Lord is saying and calling for tonight an active consecration that, Lord, I will not defile myself. You young people, we are living in such an immoral world. You need to have, and I challenge you, have an active consecration to God that you will not defile your purity, because you will find yourself in the way of temptation. You're going to find yourself in areas where the enemy's tricky. The enemy knows what he's doing, and you need to have a purpose of heart that I will not. And when you are faced with that, folks, that kind of a consecration can carry you through some tough times. I want to challenge you, dedicate and purpose and consecrate. And as you begin to look at those that have gone the other way, just prove it. Look around. What do you see tonight? What do you think really brings happiness in people's lives? I'll tell you what. It's those that have served the Lord. It's those that have followed God with all of their heart. The song says, tell me not of heavy crosses, nor of burdens hard to bear, for I found this great salvation makes each burden light appear. Do you know all of us are going to have tough times in life? But I have found that when you serve the Lord, you have a friend that will go with you through those tough times. You'll have a Savior that will go through and still give you that deep abiding peace through this veil of sorrow. And it's because of the presence of the Lord. Folks, let's not let the devil win tonight. Don't let the devil win. If there's been a struggle in your life, I want to challenge you. Purpose in your heart. It's not just a mental exercise. It's a purpose that goes down deep, that, Lord, I purpose that I'm going to keep myself. And again, remember what I said? It's not just about I can't do that and I can't do that, but I choose. I choose purity because it's better. I choose forgiveness. I choose love. I choose holiness. And you will find that that brings joy. It brings pleasure to life. Scripture over in Psalms 34 and 8, it says, O taste and see that what? That the Lord is good. Tonight, taste and see. The Lord's good. Prove it. So what will you do tonight? Are you going to eat of the king's meat? Or are you going to eat of pulse? Look at the result. I want to challenge you to purpose in your heart and stay true to the Lord. Amen.